Corin Zailkas chronicles her teen years in a memoir called Smashed, Story of a Drunken Girlhood. Steve Paulson asked her about it.
Do you remember your first drink?
Vividly. I was at my best friend's house after school. We were in eighth grade. Her parents were out for the afternoon, and we were rooting around in her kitchen cabinets looking for something to eat, and she pulled out a bottle of Southern Comfort, and I took my first drink right then.
And what did you think of it?
It wasn't particularly delicious, not at all. And I didn't even get drunk the first time, but already just the act of drinking gave me this renewed confidence.
And that's interesting because you described then some of the first parties you went to where there was alcohol, mm-hmm. and it sounds like you felt like a different kind of person. In fact, I think you described yourself as when you were drinking, you felt exotic and dangerous, a cobra inside a kitty cat.
Yeah, I did. And I think I certainly went into drinking, seeking an effect, not thinking I was going to drink for the taste. There was this Bacardi campaign I really loved in the 90s when I was growing up. It was this buttoned up by day, Bacardi by night campaign. And during the day, they showed these meek little women. They were librarians. They were bookkeepers. And by night, they were wild when they were drinking Bacardi. So I don't know. I was always pretty shy and introverted. And I thought, oh, that's the secret. I just need to get my hands on a bottle and preferably the one with a little bat on it.
So did you really feel different? Once as you were drinking, did it feel like your personality changed?
Yes. As I got drunker, of course it did. I found that liquid courage, definitely. It was far easier to slur sweet nothings into a boy's ear when I couldn't talk to him when I was sober, couldn't summon the saliva to do it. And yeah, I think I also found pretty early on that it was an easy way to bond with friends. I expected to. It was much easier to tell my girlfriends how much they meant to me when we were drinking, that kind of Budweiser, I love you, man, kind of vibe.
Now, is this unusual for 14-year-olds? You're talking about there were parties of 14-year-olds where there was a lot of alcohol flowing. Is that common?
Yeah. Half of all eighth graders have tried alcohol. There was a study by the American Medical Association last fall that told us just how easy it is for kids to find alcohol. And actually, the study found girls have an easier time at it than boys even. We're always nicking liquor from our parents' liquor cabinets, whatever we could get away with. Someone always had a college-age brother who had no problem coming home and buying us a keg. We found the privacy we needed to drink anywhere because teenagers can't find privacy mm-hmm. anywhere. So it wasn't uncommon to hike 3 miles into the woods and have a party.
Now, you describe some rather harrowing experiences. I guess when you were 16, you ended up in the emergency room having your stomach pumped out, you full of, vodka and Kahlua and rum?
Yep. It was scary. That was my first real close call. And I was still an inexperienced drinker at that time in the sense that I was kind of stupid. I didn't realize that it took a while for the alcohol you were drinking to take hold and affect you. So I was drinking more and more and wondering where that buzz was. Why didn't I feel that little buzz yet? And then everything after that was a blackout. So yeah, that was my first horror. And it scared the bejesus out of me and it scared the bejesus out of my parents. But unfortunately, I wasn't scared straight. I was for a while. But I think the idea that I could be alienated, excluded from my friends who were still out drinking every weekend, scared me far more than any consequence that could come from drinking too much.
How did your parents react to that?
My mom cried. My dad was silent, but very disappointed. My mom said, anything could have happened to you. The doctor said if you had a few more drinks, you could have died. But I told them it wasn't going to happen again, and I meant it when I said it, too. I told them I wasn't going to drink anymore, and I didn't for a while, but it didn't last.
Now, it's worth pointing out that by your account, you had loving parents, you had a good home. There was no obvious reason why you would develop this drinking problem.
Yeah, my parents were present when I was growing up. They felt omnipresent sometimes. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. I was a ridiculously middle-class, middle-of-the-road American girl. And I don't know, I think it just goes to show it can happen to anyone in this day and age. And it is. Girls are drinking younger. They're drinking much more. There's no way to spot the bad kids. The good kids are the ones who are drinking, too. They're not failing out of school, which I think a lot of parents are told is an obvious warning sign. But I was always doing well and making good grades. And I think there's a real work hard, party hard mentality whereby as long as you're balanced, as long as you're working and studying just as hard as you're drinking, there's no real problem there.
Did your drinking change once you got to college?
Yeah, my enthusiasm for it was renewed because suddenly not only was there greater access to alcohol, but just the administration, teachers, parents, the world at large seemed to be saying, it's okay now. It's part of your college experience. Live it up before you have to have a real job and real responsibilities. It was a real shock to go into, as a freshman, a Friday morning class that was particularly quiet and have a teacher say, well, it looks like you all started your weekend early. I can smell the vodka coming off of you. And it was just really lighthearted and ha-ha.
You know, what's interesting as you describe this is, I mean, clearly looking back on all of these experiences, you had a drinking problem. Mm-hmm. And yet it sounds like you were pretty successful in a lot of ways. I mean, good student. It didn't really get in the way of moving on to the next stage of your life.
Right. It didn't get away of my academics. I remember I transferred into the journalism program at Syracuse because I didn't get in out of high school. And I remember I took the test, hungover, maybe still drunk from the night before, and I passed. And I got in to their very prestigious media school. So I did have that work hard, party hard mentality. But I really feel it affected so many other portions of my life. When I quit drinking, I felt really immature, really emotionally stunted because I didn't have the social skills that I needed that an average 20-something person ought to have.
So your social life was all built around drinking?
Yes, absolutely. Every friendship I had was based on the fact that you like to drink and I like to drink, so we ought to hang out. There was no real, nothing else underlying my friendships. There was no common interests. I wasn't making friends based on the fact that we liked the same kind of books or movies or bands even. Everything was centered around drinking.
But you say you did stop.
I did stop. I was 23 when I quit. And I wish I could have found the perspective I needed to quit while I was still a college student. But I think in part now I can see I felt really safe on my college campus. And we want students to feel really safe on their college campuses. But that was an obstacle in terms of recognizing that something was wrong with the way I was drinking. It was a very different experience to be 23 and living in New York and waking up from a blackout and not remembering everything that had happened the night before while I was around adults instead of students, in a strange city instead of a college campus, a dorm that I recognized around people I knew or kind of knew. I woke up one morning in New York after a night of drinking with my roommate, martinis at a bar downtown because that seemed to be very urban. And yeah, we woke up in this beautiful apartment, expensive, like nothing I'd ever seen before. But we didn't know who owned it and we didn't know where in the city it was.
You didn't know how you got there?
I remembered how I got there when I sat down and thought about it, but I kept thinking, if these guys could have been serial killers, if something had happened to one of us, I wouldn't have had an address to give a 911 operator. It was terrifying.
So just that day, you decided, that's it? I'm never going to have another drink?
That was the beginning of the end. And once I sat down and really thought about the reasons why I was drinking, because I had those knee-jerk reactions, the social constructions the industry teaches us, I thought I drink to celebrate and relax. And when I sat down and realized I'm drinking because I never learned how to bond with my friends, express interest in men, I never found an identity for myself outside of being a girl who's fun to go out and get drunk with, so I thought, I knew that something was wrong. I knew I would never be in the place I needed to be if I kept drinking in lieu of learning those things.
Do you consider yourself an alcoholic?
I don't consider myself an alcoholic, which some people have taken issue with, but I didn't write it because it didn't feel true to me. Because I've talked to a lot of addiction counselors who say that alcoholism is made up of two things. Abuse plus addiction equals alcoholism. And I certainly had that abuse down. I was binge drinking. I was drinking explicitly to get drunk. But I don't know that I felt or I feel that addiction the way I still feel an addiction to cigarettes, which have been so much harder to shake. So yeah, I think I was a binge drinker. I was an alcohol abuser, which is not to say that alcohol wasn't a problem for me, because clearly it was.
Corin Zailke spoke with Steve Paulson. Her book is called Smashed, Story of a Drunken Girlhood.